This is my beautiful wife. I am the husband of one wife. We met in college, and she has been my sweetheart ever since. And so I tell people that she's my prime rib and that she's well done. My wife, Sherry.
Good morning, everyone. We're so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to be dancing with you this morning. This is awesome. Love this. It's been many years now since I've been in Kenya. And, you know, one thing God put on my heart this morning is that the devil always comes to steal right before your victory, right before you have your breakthrough. The devil comes to steal. Do you know that God has already said over you in Ephesians that he has good works that he planned beforehand? Before you were ever created, he put some great works together, and then he created you so you perfectly fit those good works.
That's right.
He created a win-win. Yeah. A win-win. And as a great friend of mine always says, we win or we win. Do you believe that? I believe that in my life, that I'm going to win. Do you know the last time I was in Tanzania, they tried to deport me. When I got to the customs officials, I did not have my immunization card when I got there. I was not traveling with John. I was traveling with another female. She went on ahead of me. I give the passport man my passport. He says to me, ma'am, where are your immunization card? I said, it's right there. He said, no, it's not. And you know what I heard the devil say in my head? You're not going to speak at that conference. And I thought to myself, oh, yes, I am. This is part of those good works that Ephesians tells me God has planned for me beforehand. And if God has planned it, the devil cannot thwart it. Do you realize that in your own life? Just as God spoke, he decreed and he set the sun exactly where it is and the moon exactly where it is and said, don't move any further, and you do your job day and night. He said the same thing over you. He's decreed over your life those good works. And are you going to let the devil steal them from you?
No.
Let me tell you what happened. The guy says to me, you're not going in. You're going to get back on the next plane. I said, oh, sir, there are 400 of your countrywomen waiting in a conference room for me to come share the word of God with them. And am I going to send a message to them that James, you're the reason why they can't get their conference speaker? He dropped his head. He smiled just a little. And when I saw that smile, I thought to myself, yes, I am in Tanzania. So I just held my peace. He looked at me. He's with a very official voice. He stamped my passport and he said, the next time you come back to Tanzania, you better have your immunization card. I said, yes, sir, I will. And in I went. If God, who can be against you? You know, maybe there's some things that have come against you today. And as John preaches the word, I want you to open up your heart wide, because he's going to give you some keys to your victory so that you can fulfill Ephesians and those good works that God has for you. God bless you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Amen. God is so good. I, as we were dancing today, I remember the first time I got to dance like that was in Nyeri, Kenya. And so I was holding a crusade there, and I think I was doing a Sunday service at Deliverance Center with, I think it was Pastor Mugu Wang Ombi who was the pastor at the time. So I think Stephen is now the pastor there. I'm not sure who's the pastor. And so, yeah, good friend of mine. I like Stephen too. And so, but anyway, they were shouting and screaming, and there was one guy in there. He could do that thing with that sounds like the bird, so loud. And that was my first African experience, and I'm going, yeah, I like it here. And so I was just reminded of that this morning as we were worshiping God together in your language, and it greatly blessed me. I'm excited to be here with you. I got a word I think is going to really open your eyes to a couple of things. Before I kind of get started, though, I want to know if we have any Mavericks fans in the house. You know, And so, you know, the Mavericks are been acting like champions lately. You know, they've been. I'm a Heat fan as well as a Mavericks fan, so I'm kind of going back and forth. But I'm telling you what, the Mavericks been bringing their game. The Mavericks been bringing their game. You know, and if it wasn't for one missed shot, the Mavericks would already be the champions. They would already be the national champions. And so just one shot. And they may even get another chance at that one shot. But I want to talk to you today about champions. That's my message today. Champions don't give up. They get up. That's my message today. So I'm done. No, I'm just kidding. But literally, that's my message today. And I want to show it to you from the Word. The champions don't give up. They get up. And there's lots of times when we need to be champions. We need to show the world the champions that we truly are. I take my text from Proverbs in chapter 24 in verse 16. And I will read it to you. It says, "For a righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again." A righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Now, it's interesting. In the Bible, seven has a specific meaning of completeness, and it indicates over and over again. So it indicates here that a righteous man falls many times in life. But that is not what makes him righteous. What makes him righteous is he gets up again. He doesn't stay down. She doesn't stay down in the problem, in the situation, in whatever it is. And as I began to meditate on this whole concept of how champions don't give up, they get up, I meditated on these seven things. What is it that the righteous, what are the seven things righteous men refuse to stay under, refuse to stay down in? And so I want to talk with you about seven different things that you need to be a champion and rise up. But today, my message today is really a participatory message. So I need your help, okay? And so I'm going to need you to act like you're in Africa today. Okay, because I know when I'm in Africa, man, they go bonkers. They go off the chain. They're into it. And so today I'm looking for that same kind of energy. Are you ready to follow me here? Okay, so because part of what I'm going to do is I want to teach you this message and I want to drill it deep into your heart so that when these things that I teach about come up in your personal life, and you may be experiencing one or two of these things even now in your life, but when they come up in your life, I want you to be able to say the same thing. I want you to be able to say, champions don't give up, they get up. So I'm going to give you a chance to go ahead and practice here a little bit. Go ahead and say, champions don't give up. They get up. Okay, and so I'm going to prompt you periodically as we go through the message, and I'm going to say, champions don't give up, and you're going to say, that's right. Now, you can do better than that. That was pretty good, but some of you were not acting like you were in Africa. Okay, some of you are acting like you're still right here in America. And so I'm going to try it one more time. Champions don't give up, they? Very good. Now, I want to add a mnemonic device to it. Okay? Because when you remember things, you have to tie action into it. One of the things that causes your memory to really glue things is you tie a piece of action into it. So I want to tie a piece of action into your statement. When I say, champions don't give up, you're going to stand up as you say it. Okay? You're going to stand up and you're going to shout it. Are you ready? So we're going to practice. I'm going to give you some practice time here. I'm not expecting you to do it without trying it first, okay? So, champions don't give up. Okay, that was pretty good, but you know, I got some stragglers in here that aren't participating, okay? And I'm not going after that, okay? So, I want a total participation here. So, I'm going to give you one more chance to practice. Ready? Champions don't give up. Better, better. Number one, champions get up when they are discouraged. Let's talk about this a little bit. Champions get up when they're discouraged. Now let's Discouragement is when your courage is dissed. Literally. This is what discouragement is when the courage within you is dissed. It's no longer got any power. It's been disabled. That's discouragement. You've lost your courage. And champions get up when they've lost their courage. And I want you to think about Abraham, because he's one of my heroes. And I want to read to you from the scripture in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 1 through 7, it says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said, 'Do not be afraid.'" Say that out loud.
"Do not be afraid."
Okay, so when you're discouraged, the first thing you need to understand is don't be afraid. When discouragement comes into your life, see, in this situation, Abram's discouraged. He left home, he obeyed God, he did everything he was supposed to do, and it isn't working. Anybody ever been there? He done got the son he was promised. He'd been traveling all over this land he said was his, and he's having problems, and he's discouraged. And God shows up and says, "Don't be afraid." Because listen, when you're working hard at obeying God and doing what he says and following God, and it hasn't appeared yet, the lie of the enemy is you'll never get it. And fear starts to rise. He starts to work with fear. Listen, fear is not from God. It's the tool of the enemy to get you off your courage. He wants to discourage you. And the scripture continues on. He says, "Do not be afraid. Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I am childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." Now, Abram's got a tude. He's got an attitude. What can you give? He's talking to God. Okay, we're talking about the one who strung the all of the stars in the sky and hold them all in place and commands the seas where to stop. And he says, "What can you give me?" Come on, he's got an attitude. Okay? He's discouraged. But he's still talking with God. And you notice no lightning bolt came down out of heaven. I'd be scared to talk about God that way, but you know, sometimes I felt like talking to God that way. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him. 'This man shall not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and he said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars if indeed you can.'" Now God's telling him, "Go ahead, count them if you can." "Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Have you ever thought about the fact that the very time it says that Abraham was credited to him as righteous was immediately following where he said, "What can you give me?" Wow. And he had just been having a tude with God, and God gave him the promise a second time, showed him something to see to seal the promise as a vision in his heart, and he believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Listen, God wants to get a hold of you, and he wants to shake the discouragement out of your life. But listen, you get discouraged when you lose the vision. When you get afraid and you let go of the vision God has already given you. And that's exactly what happened to Abram. God had told him, "Look, you're going to have a son. You're going to be the father of many nations." He said, "Come and follow me. I will bless you. And the nations will be blessed through you." But he lost sight of the fact that God said it would happen. And see, the same thing happens. You get discouraged when you lose sight of what God already said he was going to do in your life. And you stop believing. And God's got to shake you up and say, "No, look at the stars." He's got to get you focused again on the vision so that you don't stay in your discouragement. You don't allow that fear to cause you to lose your courage. You got to take courage. Over and over again, God tells us this. He told Joshua, he said, "Take courage." Listen, courage doesn't just show up in your life. You have to take it. You have to stand up based on the word, not based on your feelings or based on your situation or based on what you want. Yes. but based on the word. You've got to take courage and put your trust in God that what he said will come to pass. See, that's where the courage comes from, to step up and fight your way out of that problem. And I love Abram. He's the man of faith. He's the one who did it. And I remember when I was first in college, and I was newly married to this gorgeous woman. And we had nothing. I mean nothing. When we got married and we got done paying for all the bills of the wedding and everything else, we had nowhere to live, and we had, what, 32 cents in our pocket. Neither of us had a job. Both of us had degrees. We're both educated. No jobs, no money, no place to live. But you know, God showed up. And God's word, God kept telling me, he said, I don't want you to spend any more than $250 a month on rent. At that time, that was not much rent. You know, and the average thing I was looking at to rent was $350 to $400. And I didn't have the money anyway, so it didn't matter. I had 32 cents. And I'm staying in a newlywed's living room on their couch. And we're sharing a wall between us, okay? And they're newlyweds, and we're newlyweds. And about a week of that, and I'm going, we got to get out of here. And we're praying and trusting God. And I'm looking. Every day I'm looking for a place to live. I found this one place, and it's a beautiful, huge basement apartment underneath this gorgeous house. And the guy wants $375 for it. And I said, well, I know what he wants, and I know I can't pay it. And I know he's going to want a deposit, and I know I ain't got any money. I can't even pay the rent, let alone the deposit. And so I go, but I go to look at the house, just trusting God, there's some way you're going to give us something. And so while we're looking, we're walking through this house, and I'm going, wow, this place is huge. Two bedrooms, huge living room, hardwood floors, nice kitchen. And I know I can't afford it. He says, well, what do you think? I said, well, I like it a lot. I think it'll take care of us. It's more than what we need. I said, my problem is I only have $250 a month. He said, oh, I understand. Let's go. And that was, you know, pretty much the end of our walk through his house. He's thinking, he was asking $375. I'm offering $250. He's thinking, no way. I'm looking for another house. So I'm back looking for another house. About 2 days later, the guy calls me. He says, you know what? My wife and I have been talking. You guys need the money more than we do. He said, come on over. I'm sitting at a friend's house. I'm at a friend's house who's got a friend in from another city. And we're all, it's Sunday, and we're fellowshipping. He's got a friend sitting there from another city, and the call comes in, and the guy says, just come on by tomorrow morning. He said, we'll sign up the papers, and you can just move in. And so I get off the phone. I'm shouting, yeah, 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 and honey, we got the house. He said he's going to give it to us for what we needed. And then my face kind of dropped, and my body posture, and my friend says, well, what's wrong? He says, well, you know, he says, I can't pay for it. I got 32 cents. I said, I got the house, but I can't pay for it. And I'm discouraged, you know. I got every reason to be encouraged, but I'm discouraged. I'm kind of going, and this is what life is like. Yes. You know, we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're trusting God. We're believing for something. We're listening to the voice and saying, I'm going to obey you, Lord, but I don't see how it's going to happen. This is the life of faith. That one man who I'd never met before was my friend's friend, never met him before that day. He said, John, do you need some money? I said, is the Pope Catholic? No. I said, well, yes, I do. I said, well, how much do you need? And I kind of, you know, I wanted to get real prideful and humble, and I just told him exactly how much the rent was. I wasn't thinking, or I'd have added money on top for, you know, lots of other things. But to me, that seemed to be a huge amount of money. When I got 32 cents in my pocket and no job and no other source of income, and I just told him what we needed. And he said, well, walk out to my car with me. He said, when we're ready to go, walk out to my car with me and I'll write you a check. He wrote me a check, and I ran it straight to the bank and deposited that check. And the next morning, we went in to that place, and we sat down to sign papers. And he said, you know, today's the 17th. He said, I'm just going to prorate your rent, and you only need to give me, and whatever the amount of money was, less than half of what I had. And so I was able to set up my whole household, and we still didn't have jobs. I didn't know where the next payment was coming from. He said, oh, and by the way, he said, the deposit is $250. He said, but I'm going to let you give it to me over the next 3 months in thirds. I didn't ask. I didn't know what I was going to say when he asked me for the deposit. But he just offered it out front. And I want you to know, even though the situation looked discouraging, I chose, no, I'm going to take courage. I'm going to step forward and I'm going to believe God. And listen, the same thing happens to you. Don't stay in your discouragement, because champions don't give up. That was pretty good. That was okay. I think you can do better now. There's going to come another opportunity. Okay? And I think you can do better. Okay? Champions get up when they're disappointed. Here's the second thing. Champions get up when they're disappointed. When the appointment is over. When what you had always thought was your great appointment and suddenly it's gone. Samson's a great example of disappointment. He was the man of God. He had big problems. Don't get me wrong. This dude did it the wrong way most of the time. But he was still the judge of Israel. He was still appointed by God to judge Israel. And every time he stood up to judge Israel and to judge Israel's enemies, let me tell you, they got judged. And they got wiped out. They could send hundreds against him and he'd pick up the jawbone of a donkey. And they're all dead. Because he was anointed. He was appointed by God for that position. But you know what? He wouldn't pay attention to anything. And this woman kept trying. The woman who was after the money. I need some of you single guys to listen here. Okay? Because there was a woman who was after the money. And that was her whole concept. All the elders of her nation came to her and said, we'll each give you 1,000 pieces of silver if you'll turn him and get the secret of his strength for us. She was going to make major bucks, and she did. Her name was Delilah, and she got paid big time. But listen, guys, there's some ladies out there that are just in it for the money. And Samson didn't care. He knew she was after his secret. He wasn't, and he just was caught in her beauty. Listen, we all need to wake up and stay out of the flesh and stay in the Spirit. Because his refusal to walk in the Spirit and his being captivated by the flesh cost him his appointment. And he lost his appointment. They came in when she finally got him to tell and cut his hair. How he would let her do that when every time he tested her, she failed. Every single time. But he finally told her the story. Listen, you hang with the wrong people long enough and you're going to do the wrong thing. And that's the word of the Lord to some of you here. Some of you are hanging with the wrong folks and you think it's okay, but sooner or later, it'll bite you. And listen, he was disappointed. He got his hair cut. He lost all his power. He's disappointed and in prison, in darkness, living in total disappointment, realizing he had lost his power and lost his place in life. And this is when champions can't give up. This is a time when champions have to find a way inside their life. They have to find a way. It says here in Judges chapter 16, verse 28 through 30, that Samson prayed to the Lord. Wow. He was in that prison for years in his darkness. And when he finally got it right in his own life, he found the way out of his disappointment is to pray to the Lord. Are you listening? There's a way out of disappointment. And listen carefully now, because there's two choices to follow in the midst of your disappointment. There's the choice of regret or the choice of reappointment. Now, I didn't tell you that God would give you the same appointment, but he'll give you a new appointment. He'll give you a reappointment. But your choice is you've got to choose not to get lost in your regrets. Because when you get caught in regret, it plays the same record over and over and over and over. And it steals your ability as a champion to get up out of your problem, to get up out of your disappointment. You're so overwhelmed with your disappointment and your regret that you can't see God waits to reappoint you. And he wants to. Listen, I'm here today to tell you, there's some of you here that you just feel that there's no future, there's no hope, and God is waiting to reappoint you. But you first have to respond. You've got to let go of those regrets. You've got to stop holding on to the regrets from your past. And you've got to get up and you've got to obey the word. Doesn't it say, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, that's what we have to do in the midst of disappointment, is forget the past and reach forward for something else. Reach. You've got to begin to believe and reach. You got to reach. Where do you reach? You got to reach out to God. That's exactly what Samson did. In the midst of that prison, all by himself, he began to say, God, you could use me. Let's look at his words. Samson praying to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. And let me with one blow revenge the Philistines for my two eyes. Because listen, when you get caught in your sin, in your disappointment, a lot of times it costs you your vision. That's exactly what happened to him. When they cut his hair off, they took his vision. And he had to get reappointed to a new vision. And he got a vision that with one stroke, God, you could reappoint me with strength one last time. One appointment, and everything would change. And he goes on, he said, then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it, and he killed more when he died than he had the whole time he lived. In that one moment, that one reappointment, but he had to first cry out to God and believe for that strength to return one last time. You've got to be reappointed. You've got to cry out to God. You've got to stretch and reach for what God has in your life. And he'll do it. Because champions don't give up. Come on, I thought we were in Africa. Come on, you guys, you can do better than that. You know, some of you are really going for it. I want to really approve you. Some of you are just getting up with all your heart, you're going after it. Some of you are just lazy. Some of you in here, you're just, well, you know, it's not that important. Listen, I'm trying to help you. Because you're going to have to get up from something in your life. There's something in your life. If you don't have to get up today, pretty soon you're going to have to get up. Because the righteous man falls seven times, but you got to get up. And I'm trying to get you to the place where when you reach that place in your life where you're down and you've fallen and you need to get up, that there's something inside you that says, I'm going to get up. Yes. Practice one more time. Yes. Champions don't give up. That's better. Number three, champions get up when they fail. When they fail. Listen, all of us fail. The people that all of us think are the greatest successes are actually the greatest failures. They have failed more times than anybody else. It's just that we didn't see their failures, we saw their successes. And so we think they're great successes. Perhaps some of you are familiar with one of the great presidents of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of the United States. They call him the Emancipator, because he set the African Americans free from their slavery. And he decided to set them free. And he waged the most costly war America has ever been in. It cost us more men died, more Americans died in that war than any other war. Because every time someone died, they were an American. Both sides. Brothers fought against brothers. Fathers fought against sons. It was a horrible war, and it was horribly costly to a young nation. But somebody stood up and said, we're going to do it. We're going to put an end to that tyranny. But you know what? We think of Abraham Lincoln as a great success, don't we? Let's talk about his resume. You mind if we take just a second and talk about his resume? Okay, because when he was 21, When Abraham Lincoln was 21, he failed at business and went bankrupt. When he was 22, he was defeated for legislation. He ran for a seat in the legislation and was defeated. When he was 24, he failed again in business. He started a no business and failed again at 24. Well, and he overcame that, and he fell in love. He found his sweetheart, fell in love, and she died when he was 26 before they could get married. Okay? Then he, at 27, he had a nervous breakdown. Wow, is this the guy you want to hire? Okay? And then he ran for Congress again at 34, and he lost. And then he ran for Congress again at 36, and he lost. And then he ran for senator at 45, and he lost. And then he failed in an effort to become the vice president at 47. And then he lost a senator's race at 49. And he was elected president of the United States of America at 52 and became one of the greatest presidents we have ever had. Because he realized that champions get up. They don't worry about the failure. So many people say, well, I failed. I can't go on. What would happen to him if he said that? Listen, after the first three or four of those, most of us would have given up, crawled into a hole and said, forget it. But Abraham Lincoln just kept getting up. It reminds me of Peter. He is a fisherman, a great fisherman. He knows his trade. He knows his lake. He knows the whole process. He's worked all night long, been out fishing with his partners, working all night long, and didn't catch a single fish. And you can almost hear the attitude in his voice. He's coming in, cleaning up the nets, getting everything put away, and just ticked. When fishermen don't catch fish, they're not fun to be with. I know some fishermen. One of my dearest friends is an Alaskan fisherman. When they don't catch fish, they're angry. There's no money. There's, you know, it's a bad deal. And Jesus turns to him and says, hey, I want you to put your boat out into the deep, and I want you to drop your nets on this side. And Peter said, look. He said, Jesus, I've been out all night long. He said, and he can't hear this. He doesn't say it vocally, but on Galilee, you fish at night. It's daytime. Jesus is teaching because all the people are there. It's daytime. And you can hear Peter thinking, saying, you know, it's daytime, Jesus, but at your word. Okay, I've worked all night long. I did it at the right time. I did it the right way. I put the nets on the right side of the boat. But at your word, I'll do it. I've already cleaned the nets. You know, I've already put everything away. But at your word, I'll do it. Pushes the boat out, and suddenly the net is so full, at the wrong time, on the wrong side, in front of everybody. The net is so full, it's breaking. Okay, this is how God does things. And Peter's response is, leave me. I am a sinful man. He knows he knew he had failed, and then in the midst of his failure, he got up from his failure and obeyed the voice of God. Amen. And he was suddenly so abundant, he could personally have never produced it. See, and that's what God wants to do in your failure, because champions, they see their failure, and champions don't give up. That's right. They get up. But listen, when you fail, you got to get up, just like Abraham Lincoln, just like Peter did. Some of you today, you're having struggle because of a failure in your life. You just got to get up. You just got to listen for the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you, your abundant supply is going to be in answering the voice of the Lord, in obeying what he says, no matter how crazy it is. No matter how it's not nighttime, it's daytime. It's the wrong side of the boat. We know they're not biting. It doesn't matter how crazy it looks. Your success and your abundance is going to come from your hearing the voice of God and obeying it. From your failure. listen to me, from your failure. Because he doesn't care about your failure. Because listen, failure is not final if you get up. Failure is going to bow if you get up. Just like it did with Abraham Lincoln. Failure bowed. Nobody even knows about that list of failures I just read you. Very few people know. Did you know before I read them? No. All you know is he emancipated the Americans as a great president. Your failures will go the same way, the way of forgotten, under your successes as you obey God's voice. Number four, champions get up when they hurt. When they're in pain, champions get up. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, it says, do your best to come to me quickly. Paul is writing to Timothy. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he has loved this world, has deserted me. He has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. You can hear the pain in his voice. He's been deserted by those closest to him. They've heard him. And so he reaches out to someone that he loves. And I want you to realize that when you're hurt, this is the response. Champions don't just hurt. Champions reach out to someone spiritual when they're hurt. Just like Paul did. Paul was the leader. And in his pain, when he's being hurt by those closest to him, those that should have carried his load, those that should have walked with him and thanked him for all that he had done for them, those that should have helped him in his weakest moments, deserted him and hurt him. And rather than just giving up, Paul reaches out to Timothy. He doesn't wait for somebody to come back and reach out to him.
He says, well, you know, if they were spiritual, they'd know I was hurting. They should know. They can see my problem. They can see I've been deserted by all my closest people. And they just leave me here alone. I just don't understand.
Hey, listen, you're laughing, but I think most of you are going, oh, man, I think he's got my number. Listen, you need to reach out. When you're hurting, the answer is to reach out. I remember one of my friends played for the NFL for many, many years. He was an all-pro, I think, 9 times out of his 12 years as a defensive end. Went to Hawaii a lot to play in the Pro Bowl. But one of the things toward the end of his career that he told me that I will never forget, I think it was in his 12th year at the time. Not very many defensive ends play 12 years. I mean, it's a very small number that can handle that kind of pain. He said, every Monday morning, he said, I can barely move. He said, every part of my body hurts. Everything. He said, I have to struggle to get out of bed. That's how much he loved that game. And he had to decide, I'm going to get up. In the midst of my pain, I'm going to get up and do it again. And listen, there are things, there are people, there are issues that hurt you. And you may be hurt deeply today. I know what it's like to be hurt. But champions don't give up. And you got to get up out of your pain. You got to choose to get up out of your pain. Because there's no other way. Your choice is to just live with it or get up. Find a way to struggle up out of that place of pain. Reach out to somebody spiritual. Here's your answer from Paul. Reach out when you're hurting. Don't wait. Reach out. And God himself will come to your rescue. God himself will heal you as you reach out. That healing you need will come to you. But don't sit there alone in your pain. Don't imagine that God is going to help you. I'm reminded of the story of the guy who is in one of those floods. And the flood is rising, and somebody comes by in a small boat, and he's sitting on the porch, and the flood is rising, and he's trying to save all his stuff. And the guy says, jump in, I'll take you with me. He says, no, 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 God's going to save me. Everything's going to be okay. And so the flood rises. Now it's up to the windows. And somebody comes by. And they've got another boat. And they're saying, come on, jump in. We'll take you with us. He says, no, 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 God's going to save me. Then he gets up on the roof. Now it's almost completely covering his house. and the flood is still rising. And a helicopter comes by and says, drops down a rope, says, here, grab a hold. We want to save you. We want to rescue you. He says, no, no, no. He says, God's going to help me. He drowns in the flood. Why? Because God sent him someone to help him over and over and over again. And he kept paying no attention. And listen, we need to reach out and accept the help when we are hurting. And I know when you're hurting, it's hard. Listen, I care for you in your pain. I know it's hard, but you've got to reach out and receive. You've got to reach out and ask somebody to help you. You got to reach out of your pain if you want to be healed, because listen, as long as you hold on to it and you hide it and you stay alone in it, you'll keep it. And your pain will never go away. And God's desire is to heal you. God's desire is to heal the brokenhearted. One of the commandments in the gospel is to go and open the eyes of the blind, proclaim sight to the blind, and healing to the brokenhearted. And today God wants to heal your broken heart. But you've got to reach out. Number five, champions get up when they sin. Listen, everybody sins. Champions get up when they sin. I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. He wanted everything and he got it all. And he went off and he lost it all. He wasted it all on harlots and people that didn't care and drunkenness and revelry. And you know what? He had to get to the place in his life. He was eating pig food. I was talking with someone yesterday who was so broken. I believe it was Pastor Wilson. So broken over young children eating with pigs in Kenya. But this young man was eating the food, wanted to eat the food of the pigs. And it says, and he woke up. He came to his senses. And he said, I will. Here's the key to your sin. I will go to my Father. You're never going to overcome your sin yourself. You're never going to overcome your guilt by yourself. You're never going to deal with all of the feelings of how horrible you think you are by yourself. There's only one place to deal with it, and that's with God. That God wants to deliver you from your guilt and from the pain and the shame. And he wants to deliver you and heal you of your sin. He wants to wash away your sins. The Bible says, God says this, listen carefully, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. He says, though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them as white as wool. But you have to do something. Do you know what it is? I left out the first part of the verse. He says, come and reason with me. Though your sins are as scarlet, I'll make them as white as wool. In other words, you're going to have to come to God. You're going to have to bring your sins to God. You're going to have to reason with him and say, God, here's what really happened. I recognize I've sinned. I recognize I did what was wrong. And I have no way to take care of my sin. But I know that you sent Jesus from heaven. That he came to earth and was born of the virgin. And lived a perfect and a sinless life. And by the hands of godless men, they nailed him to the cross. And Jesus took my sin in his body on that cross and then died and paid the penalty for my sin. And on the third day, after they had buried him, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And today, he can wash away your sins. But you've got to come. He says, come and reason with me. And I'm going to give you a chance to come in just a little bit. Listen, the Bible says that if you'll come to Jesus, that if you'll trust in him, you will in no wise be left out. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your sins are. Today, if you'll come and put your trust in Jesus, he'll forgive your sins and he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness and he will give you the gift of eternal life. But you've got to come. You've got to come and reason with him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. So I want you to think about that. Number six, champions get up for the challenge. You know, today you're going to watch a couple of champions. If you watch the game, you're going to watch them come in. They always put them on and watch them come into the locker room. And they're walking in. Some of them, they're all in their suits. And some of them, they're in their clothes for just street clothes and just kicking. But they all got a different way of getting up for the challenge. Today's the challenge. You do realize that today Dallas can put Miami away. Today they can just send them on home for the whole year. They can do that today, but they got to get up for the challenge. Miami's at home. Okay, they got to come into their house and send them packing. You know, they got to get up for the challenge. And this is what champions do. They get up for the challenge. When there is a great challenge, that's when the champions rise. And that's when other people fold. And you know, there's a great story, the story of Elijah. And Elijah is dealing with Ahab and all the prophets of Baal. And there's 450 of them. And Elijah says, I'll handle you. He stands all by himself. And they come out and they're doing their incantations and doing all their crying out to Baal and everything else. And Elijah simply says, hey, let's have a contest. Let's see whose God is really God. Here's the challenge. It's 450 to 1. Okay, they are the ones who have the heart. The Baal prophets have the heart of the Israelites. The Israelites all over the nation have turned to Baal. That's why there's so many of them. And he says, let's have a contest. Let's see whose God is really God. When was the last time you had a God contest with an unbeliever? Notice it wasn't Baal's prophets who said, let's have a contest. It was Elijah. He said, let's see whose God is really God. You know who says that kind of stuff? Those who believe God is really God. I remember I was in Africa. I was in Tanzania holding a very large crusade, and we were talking with all the pastors. We had like 70 pastors. We were talking over the processes of what we were getting ready to do together in the city in about 5 months. And I said, and here's what the posters are going to look like. And we threw up the posters, and the posters said, come and see the miracles of Jesus. Several of the pastors, they said, you know, I said, what if he doesn't do any miracles? And I said, you let me take care of that. I said, I'll be on the platform. I'll deal with that. I said, I'll be the one up there. I said, do you see your picture on that poster? But listen, it's those who really believe God that step out and say God will be who he says he is. Those are the ones who really believe him. And Elijah says, let's build an altar. Go ahead, put it all together. And let's throw up an oxen on there, he said. And then you guys cry out to your God and ask him to answer by fire. And I'll give you all kinds of time. And then I'll cry out to my God and I'll ask him to answer by fire. And whoever's God answers by fire, he's the real God. You know the story. Most of you have heard this story before. And they cry out to God for hours and they start cutting themselves. You know, they're thinking, oh, we haven't done enough for our God yet. This is not Christianity, that where you have to do stuff for God in order to get him to respond to you. This is other religions, guys. They start cutting themselves and crying out to, and you know, Elijah starts chiding them. Hey, what's wrong? Is your God asleep? Did he take a nap? You know, they're crying, their blood's everywhere, and they're just, oh, Baal, Baal! He said, is he sleeping? A little while longer goes by, did he go on vacation? You know what? And if you read in the Hebrew, he said, is he in the toilet? No, you go read it in the Hebrew. They don't like to write that in the English. No, I'm serious. He is chiding these guys. He is just raking them over the coals. Would you do that? Would you do that in public? He's got all of Israel's there. These 450 prophets of Baal, they're doing their thing. And he is just making a fool out of them. But he knows the God who's going to answer by fire. He's up for the challenge. Are you up for the challenge? See, because out here in the real world, not in here on Sundays, out here in this real world, there's a real challenge. And there is a spirit that hates God and embarrasses him and shuts anybody down that wants to say anything about him. Are you up for the challenge? Are you ready to say, no, I serve the God who will answer by fire? And you know what? When they finally exhausted themselves, he says, okay, well, give me a shot. He says, take some chess. Okay, have you ever seen an oil barrel? A tall oil barrel? Okay. He has like 8 of those of water poured on the sacrifice. 450 gallons of water he has poured on the sacrifice. First, he has them dig a ditch around it. And there's so much water, it fills up the ditch. And then he says, oh, God, send the fire. And everybody says, we think we're going to serve your God. No, literally, they killed the prophets of Baal. Listen, when somebody who knows God shows up on the scene and announces what God will do in the midst of the challenge, God shows up. Listen, God is not afraid to show who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He sits upon the very throne of heaven, and his kingdom is here on earth. And he does not mind demonstrating who he is. But somebody's got to rise to the challenge, because champions don't give up. Oh, man, we are really falling down on the job. I mean, we've got a couple of people in the first 4 rows, and the rest of y'all ain't moving. I hope you make it when it's your time. Number 7, and I'm closing on this. Champions get up when no one else will. Champions get up when no one else will. And you know the story of David and how he showed up in obedience to his dad. He's bringing the bread and the cheese to his brothers and to his brother's commander. And he gets there and he's got the animals and everything else. And you notice with David, the first thing he does, he puts the animals with the keeper to be well cared for. And then the next thing he does is he gets the stuff to the right place and gives it to the commander and gives it to the right place, gets everything in its place. And then after he's done everything right, he hears the voice of something happening, and he goes out to the battle line and he begins to ask, what is going on? That's what he's asking. What is going on? Somebody turns to him and says, don't you have a clue? He says, Goliath has been taunting us for 40 days. And whoever goes and kills the giant, the king has said that he will make him tax-free. His family for all of their generations will be tax-free, and he will get to marry the daughter of the king. And David said, tell it to me again. He said, come on, tell me again. What am I going to get? Come on, tax free. And the wife, I'm going to marry the king's daughter. Come on, tell me one more time before I kill that sucker. And his brother hears what's going on, and here's the response of the brother. Okay? When somebody arrives on the scene who's got some faith and is willing to rise when nobody else will, a brother will rise. And the brother said, I know your wicked heart. I know your wicked heart. What'd you do with those animals? What'd you do with those animals back home? You probably left them out there all by themselves. You wicked thing, you. I'm playing a little bit, but this is exactly what the spirit that rises against the one who's willing to rise when nobody else will. When the king won't even rise. The king is hiding in his tent. The king who's taller than anybody else in Israel. The king who is the greatest warrior in Israel is hiding in his tent. And somebody rises who says, I will. See, I'm wanting to know, is there anybody here like that? That will rise when nobody else will. See, because when you do, when you choose, I'll be the one, Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. Some brother is going to rise and say, you wicked heart. And you're just going to have to do what David did. He turned to somebody and says, tell me again. Tell me what's going to happen to me. Tell me one more time. In other words, you've got to ignore that voice and hear what God's planning for your life. Because listen, this was David's plan over here. This was David's present over here. You nasty, bad-hearted little boy. Who do you think you are, you 16-year-old? That's his present. But here's his future over here. See, and he's got a choice. I can listen to my present right now and the way I'm being treated by the world right now, or I can come over here and I can listen to what God's plan is for my life, okay? Because God's plan for my life is tax-free, baby, and marry the king's daughter. Come on, God's got a plan for my life, and I ain't listening to the brother. But who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? And are you willing to be the one when nobody else will rise? The one at work when nobody else will say anything, who stands up and said, no, that's not my God. Won't you be cursing Jesus in my presence? Will you be the one? It's because God's got a place for you to rise up and be the one. For you to rise up. It's your own place. It's designed just for you. It's not like anybody else's, where you get to be David. And you get to slay Goliath. You get to be the champion. Your day is coming. Your opportunity's coming. And the question is, will you rise to the opportunity? Will you be the one to stand up and say, tell it to me again? God wants to bless you. He wants to do good to you. Don't listen to the brother who wants to tell you something else, who wants to tell you're wicked when you're not, who wants to tell you you didn't do what you should when you did. Yes. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that champions don't give up, they get up. And Lord, today we choose to be champions. Today we choose, Lord God, to get up. To get up out of our discouragement. To get up out of our disappointment, Lord God. We choose today to get up, Lord Jesus, and not to wallow right there. Lord God, not to wallow in our hurt and our sin and our pain. Lord God, not to back off of the challenge, Lord God. And if we're the only one, Lord, that will rise to be that one champion to bring the victory for your kingdom. We thank you for it, Jesus. We worship your name, Lord God. We honor you, Holy Spirit, in this place. We bless you. Now I want to know if you're willing. Some of you today, you're dealing with one of these problems. You've been just unsure what to do. And the answer is before you. You need to get up. A righteous man rises again. Are you willing today to rise? Are you willing today to rise out of your situation, out of your problem, whatever it is, whichever one of these situations it is? If that's you, I need you to just stand to your feet right now. Just stand up. Just say, I will get up out of my situation. If that's you, just stand up. I'll get up out of my situation. The anointing of God is coming. The anointing of God is falling right now. Right here, the anointing of God is here to break the shackles off of your mind as the devil has lied to you. Go ahead, you know, if you need to stand, you need to stand. The devil has lied to you and told you he was going to keep you in this problem for your whole life, that you would never get out. And today, the power of God is going to deliver you. Today, the shackles of the lies of the enemy, the stronghold that he has built in your mind is going to break and it's going to come down in Jesus' name. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are powerful for the pulling down of strongholds. Quickly, I'm going to pray. If you need to stand, you need to stand. Do it quickly. Do it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I mean it. Do it now. Stand now, if that's you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority now over these strongholds built in the minds of your people, Jesus. And I take a hold of them now off of their mind, and I rip them down in Jesus' name. And I proclaim freedom to the captive in Jesus' name. And they'll be bound and never return. Those shackles, those yokes will be broken now in Jesus' name. And never again will they deal with them. And I thank you that peace and joy and hope are going to flood their heart now, according to your word, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your power, Lord. Now we just worship you, Holy Spirit. Flow in our midst. Right now, heal the sick. If you need healing, just lift your hand high. Heal the sick, Lord Jesus. I take authority over every sickness and every disease in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority over every unclean spirit, every demonic power now in Jesus' name. I bind it all in Jesus' name. And I command it, come out of these people now in Jesus' mighty name and never return. Sickness, flee. Disease, go. Demons, come out in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Lord, we set our mind upon you. Now in the presence of the Spirit, Lord, we set our mind upon you. Lord, you told us that those who have their minds set upon you will be in perfect peace. And so, Lord, we choose never again to let our mind go back to that place where we were locked in disappointment, locked in discouragement, locked in hurt, locked in unforgiveness. Right now, you've been unforgiving. You've been holding it against somebody. Right now, you need to let it go. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to set you free from that unforgiveness. The power of God, as you bring it to the light, listen, get your hand up high. Get your hand up high. Bring it to the light. That's where release comes from. Get your hand up high. Quick, I'm about to pray. Father, these people right here, they're battling with unforgiveness, Lord God. Right now, they're asking you to forgive them. They're releasing that person. Go ahead, release them right now. Say, I forgive them. Go ahead, say it out loud. I forgive them. Use their name. Say it out loud. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Just like Jesus did. I forgive them. Just like Philip did. Lord, forgive them. Right now, Lord, we make that place. And Lord God, now I ask that your healing power would come into their heart, Lord God. That you'd heal them, Father God, and every broken heart in this place. I speak the word of the Lord. Heal the brokenhearted in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, according to your word. I want to pray for you today. If you know you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you know you need to be forgiven of your sins. You came in here weighed down with sin, and you know you're in sin, and you know you need forgiveness. And when I talked about sin, you said, that's me. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to take control of your life and be the Lord of your life. I want to pray for you. Maybe you have in the past, but you've been walking away from God. You've been separated from him. You've been away from him. And you want to remove that separation. The Bible says this. It says, your sin separates you from God. I want to pray for you and have that all removed by God himself. If that's you, I'd just like you to raise your hand and let me pray for you. I'm going to pray a specific prayer for you. That's right. Just raise your hand. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He wants to forgive your sins. That you just raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you. We bless your holy name, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our midst. How you're changing people. Thank you for tonight, Lord God, and for the testimonies that are coming forth of what you're already doing and what you will do tonight, Lord God. For the people whose lives will be transformed tonight, and for those who've already been changed here today, Lord. Those who've gotten up out of their difficulties and will never be the same. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name.